The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited about today's episode.
I know, we have a legit person, you guys.
Yeah, like, sometimes we have people on
here.
We
always have legit people.
Illegitimate. They're illegitimate people.
They're like the children that you don't really want to... No, that's not true. That's terrible.
Today's episode, though, has someone who has... It's a topic that we get asked questions about a lot, first of all, so that's perfect.
Yes.
We want to give you what you want. But also, in my, like, alternative life... I know all the same people this person does.
We
hang out in the same places, like writing jokes and just laughing at each other. You're so funny.
Oh, God.
You're getting paid for it. And that's what I do in my head.
I'm like of all the names, Ellen, I'm like, oh my God, I love Ellen. Oh God, I love her. This is very exciting. This is very fun. I love writers too. So my husband, you guys know from listening, Jose Luis works in advertising, but he's a creative director. So he does like all the visual stuff, but he's always paired up with a writer. And I swear to God, you guys, every writer that I've met is fucking hilarious. Okay. Like I laugh at everything. You noticed that probably listening.
You have a generous laugh. It's a good quality.
There's this one guy, Jeffrey, like seriously, every time we get together, I'd just be like, oh my God, Jeffrey, you're so funny. Like every 5 minutes, I was stupid. All I do is laugh.
Didn't you say that you don't think Zoolander is funny though?
I don't think Zoolander is funny.
You laugh at
it's
everything
annoying.
Except Zoolander.
I know, weird.
She draws the line
but
with
if you say poop,
Ben Stiller
I
comedies.
Laugh. And if you say fart, I laugh a lot. Or if you do fart, Christy, I will laugh.
So you have the sense of humor of an 8-year-old boy is what we're, who loves Ellen.
My okay. son is like, stop, mom, stop. And he's 11. Anyway.
You're ridiculous.
Right, well, it's fun. I'm excited. Now she's like,
so
oh,
from
great.
All the
now
context clues, you would know that we have a writer on the episode today. And I'm going to just jump right in. Usually we have more... just inane banter at the top, but this is our second episode to record today, back to back, and we're on a roll. So
we're
going to jump in.
Angela Prophet style.
The question I mentioned that we get a lot has to do with writing your own ceremony script, essentially, or you listeners, you write into us and say, we're not going to have a traditional ceremony in a church. Our friend is going to be our officiant, and we know we got to include vows and rings and a proclamation, but we're not sure how else to make the officiant's speech or script interesting or personal or, you know, funny or lighthearted or filled with lovely anecdotes. So you ask us these questions and we have pointers,
right.
But it's a hard thing when you're not working with a professional officiant.
Or writing vows or writing toasts, speeches.
Toasts,
like
yes.
Some of you might be listening to this because you're in a wedding and you have to give a toast or a speech.
Right. And we did a whole quick focus episode on toasts. That was a long time ago. I think I did it. It's like a 10-minute episode about just what to sort of include in a toast. And that was, it was very like bullet point, just the facts. And then we've also done episodes about ceremonies and even what to include in a ceremony script or an order of that they typically go. But a trend is that the rules are going out the window. People are doing whatever they want. You're doing all kinds of readings and song lyrics and having interesting people pick their own readings for your ceremonies and your speeches. So today's episode will fit into all of that. We are interviewing Beth Sherman. She's a comedy writer. She lives in LA, but I made sure she wasn't one of those LA types, you guys, filled with like name dropping, which I, you know, would be all over. But I just wanted to make sure that she was accessible to all. She totally is. Here's a little background. She's a comedy writer. She's written for Ellen, as Michelle mentioned, The Talk, The White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Oh, my God.
I know. A contributor for that. The Queen Latifah Show, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, The Late Show with David Letterman, and the oft-forgotten but critically acclaimed Rosie O'Donnell Show. Remember when Rosie O'Donnell was like queen of daytime, Michelle? I loved her show.
Yeah.
And here's a little blurb. Over the past year, Beth has fallen into a little sideline writing and added comedy to all kinds of speeches, especially wedding speeches. She's ghostwritten nearly 100 best man speeches, groom speeches, very popular in the UK and Australia as the groom speaks a lot more than is traditional here. Did you know that, Michelle?
I didn't, but I like that.
Yeah, they're
that.
Like expected to speak and like act. I think it's more kind of like a host, thank you, welcome speech. We'll ask her.
Okay.
She's done father of the bride speeches, toasts for the rehearsal dinner, speeches for friends and family, acting as officiants, so helping with ceremony. And on two occasions, she's even ghostwritten the vows for the couple themselves. If you want to kill it in your vows, you might need a professional's help.
You mean Beth.
www.bethsherman.com, and then you'll see speech writing up at the top on her tabs. She's helped clients find crowd and couple-pleasing laughs, crowd-pleasing and couple-pleasing laughs, amid family feuds, felon fathers, and fundamentalist congregations. She's brought introverts out of their shell and reminded extroverts that it's a wedding, not a Comedy Central roast.
Oh, my God. That's so good.
Welcome, Beth.
You Sherman. Are a good writer. Felon fathers.
It's good to be here. Yeah, that one might have been a red flag, but...
What the hell? Why? What did he do?
Well, on the initial call, or maybe it was a couple of beats into it when I got on a call with him to find out, all right, well, tell me, he was father of the bride. He wanted a toast for the night before. He wanted a speech. And he did drop into it that he'd spent some time in jail, which in hindsight, maybe should have been a red flag. But
I mean,
but everybody loves their children. You know, everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish him the best of luck. I wish her the best of luck.
Oh my God, what happened? Did something happen?
No.
He was in prison and then he got out.
Yeah, it was all very far in the past, but it was just a piece of information I was not quite prepared for in that particular moment to find all that stuff out. All right, well, you know, we're talking about universal.
Let's use it.
Yeah, these are universal emotions, right? They're, you know, everybody, she loves her dad. He loves his daughter. Let everyone enjoy that day.
Yep, there you go. So we want to hear your origin story. That is superhero Beth Ellen Sherman. and tell us, you're writing for all these TV shows, and you're in a writer's room, right? For some of these, it's many of them, it's a team. Mm-hmm. And then this kind of side gig happened, and now you're sought after. So how did that come? How did that all come about?
Sought after. Well,
highly sought after.
they're searching me. Well, it was kind of organic, but I've been in a room. I've been doing comedy writing for going on, well, actually just crested 20 years now. So basically, a lot of the reason the freelancing stuff came on was we had two really good close friends of ours moved out of LA in the past 2 years, and that, you know, made us start talking about, well, is there a time when we would move out of LA? I'm not from here. My partner's not
you
from
and your
here. My wife.
Wife.
Yeah. Okay. She's not from here. She's not from this country. So, you know, I don't have any marketable skills anywhere else but Los Angeles, or at least that's what I thought. I'm a comedy writer. I write for TV shows. So, you know, I've lived in New York, so there's New York, and, but other than that, you know, it's not like you can just kind of sit down anywhere and write TV shows. So I thought, what marketable skill do I have? And I can write funny things to come out of people's mouths. And
so this came from like a, what do I want to do for the rest of my life potentially?
Yeah, I was working, working somewhere at the time, but sort of just in a general sense of, you know, our friends moved to Denver. What would I do in Denver? You know, I guess I could do copywriting or something like that. But then you start to read about what, you know, someone who's done that. I can't compete with someone that's done that for 20 years. You know, that's a skill. So I can be funny. So that's pretty much all I could do. So, and I started doing this. I started writing, you know, friends have always asked me to help them punch stuff up. Friends, they've always asked me, I've done a few best man speeches and helped good friends out. I went, maybe there's a market for that. And as it turns out, there is. And being a little bit older now, or at least not 25, in a different part of my life, being married and sort of having been to a ton of these events and lived a little bit, you also kind of have a different perspective, because a lot of times the people that are getting married are really are a lot younger. And you go, look, here's, I want to help you with this speech. I want you to make it really funny. But also I have a little bit of life perspective, so I can help you like, don't pick that fight. Just don't, you know, do this, not that. And it's kind of a good fit.
Because you might have some distance from the last speech you gave at a wedding, or that you heard a really good toast and be like, listen, I know how this is going to age. In 20 years, you're going to be really happy you did not mention the frat party where the groom's penis got stuck in a whatever. You're going to be happy you didn't mention that. So here's what you can do at the speech that'll make it memorable and poignant in the moment, but also age well, or that it's, you know, it'll be good even 10 years from now when they watch their wedding video back.
Well, exactly. You want something that's going to age well, because you also, you want to entertain the people in the room. You want to entertain everybody in the room. I was also a comic for a lot of years, and it's, you know, you want everybody to have a good time. So you want,
right.
And weddings are this crazy combination of the most random kinds of people. So, you know, you have 90-year-olds, you've got kids, you've got people that know one side, but not the other side. You've got people that know the other side and hate them. You know, so yeah. You really want to find a way, how can you, and also now you've got politics. So, you know, you've got a bunch of people that may just have this visceral reaction to other people at the wedding. So how do you figure out a way to make all these people have a good time, laugh, and kind of remember why they're there?
Right. Because on top of it all, if you're giving a speech at a wedding, it's got some weight to it, because it's your opportunity, I would say once in a lifetime opportunity, to tell these people getting married why you love them so much and why you celebrate them on that day. So that like overreaching theme of like, you're standing up and you're in a room full of people and you're just going to pour love on somebody and make it entertaining and make people, you know, be able to relate to it, but also just express your love. That's why toasts are my favorite part of a wedding. And Michelle will vouch for me. I've said it so many times. If people want to give toasts at your wedding, say yes, let them fit some time into the timeline, because it really is, or, you know, move it to the rehearsal if you need to spread things out. But it really is the only time, or one of the only times in our life, that people that we really care about stand up and say nice things about us.
Yeah.
Other than your funeral.
Exactly. Exactly. The next time people really pour their heart out and tell you what they think of you, in a good way anyway, you're not going to be around to hear it. Give them a chance. And that's also your chance to say something, to thank people, to publicly thank people, to say to your parents, to say to your best friends, to say to all of these people who, by the way, have spent probably a lot of money to be there.
And they're your village.
Yeah. They're the best part of your life, literally. I mean, they're the best things. If they're there, well, maybe not just if they're there. There's probably, you know, always a handful of a good percentage of the people at your wedding where you went, do I have to invite these people? But for the most part, the people that are there because they want to help you celebrate. They're your team. They're cheering you on. They're the people in the stadium. So absolutely. I have a hard and fast rule. If someone wants to say something nice about me, I mean, I'm always uncomfortable hearing it and I can't take the compliment, but go for it by all means.
You let them. Yeah. And remember that even from the ceremony to the toast, anytime someone is speaking to the whole group of guests at a wedding, the idea is that your people, your village, are there for you. not just in the moment of like, okay, we're all here, we're going to have cocktail hour and we got a free dinner out of the deal and we got to wear our nice clothes. But like the ideal is they're there for you as you embark on this journey of marriage, which is a very important choice you're making. You're making it for a reason. And marriage is not always easy. We talk about that a lot on the podcast also, that you want people to support the actual institution so that when your partner is driving you insane, you have somebody that can remind you, remember at the wedding what he said about you and how how he looked at you. Try to remember that when you're picking up socks for the 20th time next to the hamper or whatever. So it's an opportunity to kind of ignite your friends and family to be on, like Beth said, on the team with you. So I love that. And I also love a toast that nails it. Like we laugh, we cry, we all universally remember things together. So that the laughing part is what you're helping with, but you're not just giving, I mean, tell us how it works when somebody like a best man actually hires you. You don't just write some jokes for him.
Sure. And it's also,
yeah, what's the process?
Yeah. And so also, it's also, you know, it's laughing, but it's also the sincerity. All of that is part of it because it's, you know, the laugh is usually the thing that makes the person giving it more comfortable because that's the comfortable part. It's hard to go up and just sort of pour your heart out. And the laugh is what mm-hmm. makes is sort of the method of delivery.
It brings people in.
Yeah, exactly. I would say it's the sugar that makes the medicine go down, but this certainly isn't the medicine. Good. But you know, it's a happy occasion. You want people to smile, you want them to laugh, but you know, it also, you don't have to leave them gasping on the floor. You want to be able to mix the two things. So how do I work with people? And that works in kind of, it's a collaboration. So it's however it is comfortable for this person. So some people know right from the beginning, I need help with this. I don't know where to start. Some people have a draft already. You know, they've sat down, they tried to write something and they just go, I can't, it's like a 4. I want it to be a 10. Everyone feels pressure. Mm-hmm. For it to be,
it doesn't circle back. It doesn't have a common thread. It just seems disjointed. They might have actual problems for you to address.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it's a matter of content. Sometimes it's just a matter of structure. And it's seeing what you can usually just by talking to someone or asking them some. You know, I have a list of questions that usually get me pretty close to what I need, or the draw out anecdotes. And then getting a sense of the person that hired me, and in that way getting a sense of their relationship to the couple, getting a sense of the couple, and then getting a sense of how the two of those things or the three parties all kind of interact and what the mm-hmm. relationship is and context and stuff. And then if I have all of those things, a speech often at a wedding, there's a little bit of a structure to it anyway. I mean, you want to introduce yourself. Why you, or how do you know this person? And then the meat of your speech, and then you're sort of giving the toast. So there's a little, you know, there's a structure to it. Also, I always like people to introduce themselves because at a wedding, it's this mishmash of people that are from every different part of their life. So people, you want to bring everyone along with you. You don't want to leave anyone behind. So always explain who you are. How do you know this person? And if you're, you know, if someone so-and-so introduced you, point that person out, like bring everybody along. Don't assume that everybody knows every single detail of everything. And don't assume they know every detail of how people met and all that sort of stuff. Give a little explanation. If you say, you know, even if it's just the initials of the college that you went to or a nickname or something like that, explain it, you know, take 3 extra seconds and explain it so that everyone knows what the hell you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you think or do you have any advice when they say, how long should it be? I don't know how long it should be, and I'm worried about it being too long.
For a toast, 1 or 2 minutes is a lot of time for a toast. I mean, if you're going 2.5 or 3, don't worry. Don't rip everything up and crumple it up and throw it out right now. But, you know, you can say a lot in a short amount of time. For a best man toast, I would say maybe 5 minutes is plenty. You can really say a lot. And I would also suggest that for people planning their wedding, because I have a lot of people that ask me, how long is this supposed to be? So if you're planning your wedding and you ask someone to be your best man, your maid of honor, make a speech like that, if you're asking people to give toasts, help them out, help yourself, so that you don't have a hostage situation and someone giving like a 45-minute toast. But but help them out too by saying, you know, we'd love you to give a toast, probably like 1 or 2 minutes, something like that. Because then they have, first of all, they don't, if they don't like public speaking, they don't go, oh my God, I have to write, you know, an entire one-person show. You know, they don't feel overwhelmed right. by it. It seems like a manageable amount of time, because it is. And they have a number in their head. They have something to work for. And then also, again, so that you don't have one that's 15 minutes, one that's 7 minutes, one that's 5 seconds, although that would be fine if you've said everything you need to say.
In 5 seconds.
But really give people a guideline. And then also kind of add a minute or two to what they're going to do. If you say someone, this is a 5-minute best man speech, they're going to give you 8 probably on the day, because people will laugh and there'll be a little bit of a spread for that and things like that. But that's okay, because if you ask for 5 and you get 8, that's better than asking for 10 and getting 20.
Yeah, I think that oftentimes, that's a lot of times questions for us is like, how long is too long for a speech? How long is too long for a toast? Or,
and it's the, you know, couple trying to figure out their timeline.
Yeah, because they have no idea. Yeah. You know, they have no idea. And then they start to think, well, how long do I have the venue? And I'll sit with a couple and they'll ask me, like, what is it? Does it have to be like 10 minutes? And I'm like, oh my God, no. You know, yeah. like you said, Beth, 2 minutes, you guys, if you're not used to public speaking, 2 minutes is a long time to talk. It's a long time.
And there's different relationships too. Like if it's a lot of times it's say the brother of the groom or the sister of the groom or a sibling, they usually have a little more time, I think, added to theirs because they have more context of the relationship. They've literally known each other since they were born, and more guests know them. So if they're there for the family, then it's like, oh, that half these guests I'm related to or, you know, I grew up with or I've known for a long time.
Totally. Yeah.
So I think for my timelines, I've had weddings where there's 4 toasts in a row. My own wedding was like that. And we allotted basically 20 minutes for all 4 people. And so that was 5 minutes. But then the toast I gave to my best friend at her wedding was definitely 10 solid minutes. But it was awesome.
But you're a speaker. But you're
right. But that's what I'm saying. There's different.
I must say so myself. It was amazing.
We knew there was only 2 toasts, though. So at the rehearsal, as a wedding planner, I try to make sure if they're there, I talk to the people giving toasts. Okay, maid of honor, best man, come over here, and I give a little pep talk. It's a toast, not a roast. I will go up to you and tap you on the shoulder. It'll be about this time after you've already eaten. Make sure you go to the bathroom. Make sure you have alcohol. If you want to hold up your champagne glass, I will give you one. And I put 5 minutes in the timeline. So, you know, get out there and do your thing. I'll just give them a little more information probably than they even need so that they're less nervous about like, when am I going? Do I have time to eat? Where do I stand?
Absolutely. That's the worst thing for someone to be sitting there just dreading it, you know, like
sweaty
they're about
palms.
To be pushed off a cliff and they don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah. Like, oh God, give me a shot. Oh God.
Well, I'd also say, by the way, speaking of booze, I would say if you have to have a drink, like you're at a wedding, and if you have to have a drink, limit yourself to 1. Get 1, drink it
pre-toast.
Real slowly. This is if you're the speaker. I mean, ideally, probably do it sober, but if you have to have something, 2 drinks.
Well, Christy and I are like, no, you need a drink.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So,
one
drink. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
especially if you haven't eaten and you're nervous. A lot of times they're so nervous about giving this toast, they eat nothing. They eat.
Yeah,
I've
the
seen,
plate
right,
just
Christy?
Sits in front of them and you're
they
like,
don't eat.
You have time.
Like,
we gave you time.
They're constantly looking at me like, what are we doing this? Like from across, when is it? And I'm like, just eat. Just
you know,
eat.
A toast can be so, it's such a big part of the day because it can have a different tone than the ceremony. And I think that's what can be really important. It's still emotional and filled with love, just like the ceremony, but it can shift the mood of an event, a good toast. And I'm thinking again to my best friend's wedding, because her ceremony, her mom was very ill. There were so many heavy things that had happened before the ceremony. And I mean, I'm talking like right before. It was very emotional, and not in, there was very little levity. And it was beautiful and it was profound. But as soon as I recessed out of there as the maid of honor, I grabbed a glass of champagne that was like being held, you know, as we made our way to the cocktail hour. And I just downed it because it was like, whew, okay, get on board, girl. Cause in about 30 minutes, you know, dinner is going to start and I'm going to be one of the two people speaking. That, not like I need to get everybody happy again. It wasn't like that. It was more like so many things are being said and held onto at this wedding that need to be said and held onto. But I have to, I felt, I was nervous because I felt the weight of like, I need to show her how much I love her and what an awesome person she is, separate from all this other stuff that's been really hard lately. So a toast is the opportunity for kind of a welcome. Regrouping. Yeah, a welcome to the next part of the wedding celebration.
Hey, you guys. Today, if you're listening to this in the real time, is March 20th, 2019. And you know what that is? It's the first day of spring.
Spring forward.
And spring, what does that mean? It means new beginnings, new routines. And our sponsor, Care Of, a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers personalized vitamin and supplement packs to your door, is the perfect way to spring into this season.
We love Care Of because it started out with a fun quiz. And who doesn't love a fun quiz you can take in 5 minutes all about yourself?
All about me.
I love quizzes and I love answering questions all about myself. This is an online quiz. I did it on my phone. It asks you about your diet, your health goals, your lifestyle choices, how much you drink every day, you know, things like that. And takes about, like I said, 5 minutes to fill out. Your personal, scientifically backed vitamin and supplement recommendations will be based on that quiz. Easy peasy and pretty fun.
And your personalized Care Of subscription box gets sent right to your door every month with personalized daily packs that are great for a busy on-the-go lifestyle like us in wedding season right now. I got those packets in my purse. I'm popping those pills after I eat lunch.
I threw a couple in my car.
I'm like, boom. Boom, keep myself going with energy because I am busy.
They have your name on them too. How cute and fun is that?
I love that. It's so cute.
Also, a portion of every sale goes towards the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins. What's not to like about that? So
that's a good thing.
We need you, if you are interested, and we think you should be, to go to the website. And that is takecareof.com, takecareof.com. And you'd enter your promo code, which is our promo code, BigWedding50.
BigWedding50 for 50% off your first month at Care Of. Enter promo code BigWedding50. So go to takecareof.com, promo code BigWedding50. Thank you, Care Of. Beth, how often do you hear from your clients after the toast? Did they check in with you and tell you, or do you ask them?
Yeah, you know, a good part of the time I do. It's a really cool thing because it's, you know, you're helping something with someone. So you're helping someone with something so personal. So people are incredibly grateful. I always say, let me know how it goes. I always write down when I take the job, I always write down on my calendar when the actual date of the event is, so that even if we finish 2 weeks beforehand, I can check in a couple days before. You good? Already? Let me know how it goes.
Break a leg.
So give us some, I know you mentioned earlier there should be an introduction of who you are and how you know the person. What are some other tips people should think about when they're writing a toast or a speech?
You know what? I didn't give you a full answer to that last one. Can I give you a full answer? Because I've actually heard some really good things.
Please.
I think I took a much too long pause. Do I ever hear from people after the event? I do. I always kind of say, yeah, let me know how it went. But I get emails that make me cry because it's people are so nervous for it. And hopefully if I've done my job, they have something where at least they're excited to deliver it. That, you know, when you're delivering something that's funny and heartfelt and you feel like, okay, I feel great about delivering this, it's a good thing. But then I get stuff from right after the ceremony. I get these really great thank yous. Because you're helping, which, you know, in my other professional life, I get a paycheck. And I'm very appreciative for it, but you know, it's not a personal thing. So it's really cool to have people say, it was amazing. Thank you so much. This guy, you know, my father came up to me, my mother came up to me, the mother of the groom came up to me, you know, all these sorts of things, all these people that they don't just feel good that they did it, but that other people came up to them. And,
right,
and tell
them
how much
proud.
They enjoyed it. Yeah.
Have you seen video? Has anyone sent you video?
I've seen one video.
I would totally send you video if you helped me. I'd be like, look what I did. I paused when you said to pause.
I've only seen one video. I guess people have kind of mentioned it, but then there's also sort of like, well, if you're happy with it, then I'm happy with it. That's all I need to know.
Michelle, what was the kind of the tenets or best practices for the actual like outline or content writing the toast? What would you say is your cliff notes for that, Beth?
So the first thing is be sincere. So I know everyone wants to be funny. You will be funny. I promise you. Whatever you write, it's going to be funny. But the best kind of funny is sincere. The best kind of funny is real life. So don't put pressure on yourself to be funny. Tell your story, and then from that story, the actual humor it will come out of it on its own. You'll find ways to bring that out organically. That's the best kind of stuff. So when you sit down, I always tell people, don't put a ton of pressure on yourself. Just start taking notes. As soon as someone tells you you're going to give as soon as you know that you're going to have to give this speech, sit, you know, make a note on your phone. Create one, and every time you think of something you might want to say, something that happened, a nickname, anything like that, put it in the note. Put it all in the note. Just start collecting
stuff.
I'm
a big note taker on my phone.
Yeah, because if you sit there, it's so much pressure. So really, you're going to summarize the 25-year friendship of this person sitting down between 2 and 3 on a Wednesday while you're at work. You're probably not going to think of every single wonderful thing that happened to you guys in a great order at that particular moment. So just keep making notes, throw notes, throw notes, throw notes. Then when you sit down, then you have something to start with too. You're not starting with a blank page. So then sort of go to your introduction. So introduce yourself, give yourself a little setup, then write the other end of it. Write the toast, you know, just, you know that how it's going to begin, you know how it's going to end, then start sort of shifting around the stuff in the middle.
The pieces that you had kept track of and kind of written down in your notes, those can be shifted around.
Absolutely.
With the introduction, do you suggest thanking the host or saying something like, isn't this so beautiful? You know, Mark and Lisa, thank you for, what if that's already been done in the toast before yours?
Well, no one's ever said, no, you had too many thank yous. These people have been thanked too many times. So always a good practice. So introduce yourself so that everybody in the room knows who you are, why you're speaking. Make sure, thank your hosts. It's not hard to find out who your actual hosts are. Tell everyone they look pretty, because they do, and handsome,
totally,
and all those other sorts of things. Thank the other guests that are there. You know, acknowledge the other guests that are there. They must be special. Look at all of these people.
Yeah. A lot of times we hear, like, we have guests from all over. Charlie flew in from Duluth, and, you know, Cameron came all the way from Canada, or what, you know, you hear, like, how to bring everybody in, like you said, so that the toast is kind of a way of acknowledging everyone there. And then you get into the more personal, like how you know the groom or the couple or whatever.
Yeah. And the way I loosely structure it, or I suggest that people loosely structure it. So it's like, who the hell are you? And then how do you know, you probably know one half of the couple, you knew one half of the couple first, right? So who are you? How do you know the half of the couple that you met first? How did you, when that person met the other half of the couple, what was the your first thoughts? How did you first hear about the other part of the couple? How did you first meet the other part of the couple? You know, your best friend meets someone new. You know the moment when you kind of heard, hey, I met this girl.
It's different this time.
Different, yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if that person didn't know it was different. Or the first time you saw that couple together, what did you notice? What did you see? Did you know? Did you not know? And if you did know, what were the signs? Get specific, because that sort of thing, really, it's real, and it's usually funny. So after you do that, then now they're together, and how has your friend grown in that relationship? What do they like to do together? What do you do if you meet up with them? How has that changed your life? How has it done all of that? And the sort of looking ahead into how are they going to grow, continue to grow together as a couple. So just the sort of, you know, very logical, basic, but they're good kind of umbrellas to write for. Because you know these people really well, and you like them.
Did you say you've helped ghostwrite vows or ceremony?
I have, more than a few times, actually.
More than a few times?
Yeah, so, well, one guy came to me, and they wanted to write their own vows, but, you know, he and his fiancée, they were going to write their own vows. She was a writer. I don't remember exactly
what... She was a writer?
She was a writer. He was an engineer.
Oh, so he was, like, intimidated.
Totally. He was he was soiling himself. He was so intimidated. Which, not only did he want to show his wife how much he loves her.
But he knew hers was going to kill it.
It's not what he does for a living. It's not who he is. It's not something he's used to doing all the time. So in that case, I ended up, I think it was on instant message, but we went back and forth for about an hour and I asked him all kinds of questions and stuff. And so instead of asking him what he wants to say, it's just, if you ask someone who is in love about the other person, they love talking about it. It's like asking someone, could you tell me about your child? You'll never get them to shut up.
Or be like, tell me why you're vegan. They never
yes,
shut
exactly.
up.
What diet do you think I should be on?
How do you feel about paleo? Seriously, just tell me everything.
Exactly. So you know, he, in the course of him talking about her, without feeling that pressure to sort of be writing something, he was just talking about this person that he has, you know, he loves. He's got a huge amount of affection for her and lots and lots of nice memories. And then sort of looking at that, and he'd written a kind of an awkward version of vows. So trying to then take the spirit of the direction that he was going and then taking these very specific, funny moments, things they say to each other, nicknames, things, you know, the moment that he knew he wanted to spend the rest of his life with her, which ironically in that case, I guess they were on vacation in Hawaii and they were taking a hike. And I guess the hike was going to some beautiful place, and she was adventurous. So it was a very steep cliff, and they were climbing up it, and he was just thinking, boy, not only does she have the whole package, but this person has no fear. You know, it's that kind of thing. Let's go higher, let's go higher. And he loved that about her. But the way he told me this, I said, when did you know that you were in love with her? And he said, well, I was pushing her. I had my hands on her butt, and I was pushing her up. We were on a hike and I was pushing her up, and I was like, well, that's so it was a really funny image to be able to say, you know, I knew the moment that I knew I had to marry this woman, I had my hand on her butt and I was pushing her. But then you open that up, because it was super real, but then you open that up and you go, but here's the bigger reason why, because she was fearless and she wanted to, you know, just let's go to a higher peak and a higher peak and a higher peak.
And you're happy to be the person behind that person for the rest of your life.
Exactly. He knew that she would have him and he would have her, but you had this really funny moment that we could create that was a little bit of a misdirect, but then just sincere.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of like a moment that they had together that you wouldn't have known about that unless you had dug a little bit, and then you were able to turn that moment into a representation of a bigger emotion, I guess.
Exactly. And sitting down, but him just sort of sitting down with, you know, with a legal pad or in front of his computer trying to think of something like that. I know for myself, I don't know that it would come. You know, it's part of just talking it through, talking it out. So also, I guess that's a good piece of advice. If you're having trying to figure out what to say about either the person that you love or, you know, the toast that you're making, talk it through with someone else. Talk it through. Why do I still have this person in my life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does this person make me feel about myself? I've got friends that, you know, one friend in particular I can think of, I've been friends with her for 20 years, and every single time she's just got this energy. And as soon as I get on the phone with her, I feel better.
Aww.
You know, and she's, but you know, if I sat down to write that, I don't know if I would, but when I just sort of said, what makes her such a good friend to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we still in touch? How does she make me feel? It comes like that.
And you could imagine if you said that in a room full of people, that other people will feel the same way about her.
Yeah.
Or have the same experience and be like,
oh yeah, you're right. Yep. She does.
I too feel that way about the bride or my friend. So I had a question when we first did the intake call about how, I don't know if it was my question, but we got to, you might write these toasts for, let's go back to like the best man, but then if it's a couple of weeks out and then the wedding happens, like sometimes you mentioned politics, there might be something big that happens like in pop culture or a game at the same time, you know, at least when I did weddings in Texas, you could never have a wedding on a college game day because people they wouldn't come. They'd be like, I'm sorry, I can't come to your wedding. OU is playing Texas or whatever. So,
but dad, yeah.
But yeah, dad, you have to be there. But you talked about how you've made kind of last minute, when it's applicable, last minute changes to sort of insert something.
I always try to kind of make myself available if I'm working with someone. You know, it's a job, but it's such an intimate thing. So I always try to make myself available in some form to people, just right up till they're drinking the drink after the toast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I use me as a resource. I had a friend, I had a client that was in Louisville for his wedding. And I guess they'd gone, there's a big basketball rivalry and the wedding was there. And he texted me from the men's room because since the time we had sort of finalized the speech, it was a best man speech. He was the brother. And he texted me from the men's room because a game ended. And there were people from both sides of the rivalry in that room. So he wanted to open. He wanted to change his opening joke to acknowledge that. That was great. Because it also, it immediately will pick up the room.
Right.
I mean, it's not just a good thing comedically, but just in terms of, you know, acknowledging the elephant in the room. So a lot of people there that were showing their love by being there, probably instead of watching the game. So acknowledging the elephant in the room is another great piece of advice.
I love doing that.
Mm-hmm. So
I think that's important.
Not politically. Avoid politics altogether. This is an occasion where everyone should just remember that they love each other because they love each other. Don't pick a fight politically or don't mention something like that. I really feel strongly about that. But if something happens in the ceremony, leave yourself open a little bit. You know, if the bride passes out a little bit because she hasn't eaten in 2 weeks during the ceremony, you can acknowledge that.
Or her father is a felon.
If father is a felon, maybe not. Not in that case.
If the flower girl just straight up refused and you hadn't had anything, you weren't going to say anything about it, but it's what everyone's talking about. It's okay to just kind of touch on things right at the beginning to be like, okay, everyone, you know, we all saw that happen.
Sophia didn't walk down the aisle. We saw her scream and she pulled her dress off and started running, you know, through down the aisle.
Yeah, exactly. I'll try to get through as much of my speech as I can before I have to have my tantrum. Mm-hmm. but maybe not something quite as negative. But yeah, exactly. I mean, if it's a blizzard, you know, if everyone had to go through some kind of endurance sport to actually get there,
uh-huh.
if the bride had to go there in a, you know, in a mudslide and a huge rainstorm in her whole dress and everything like that, you know, if it was the, you know, that she's managed to look that good after going through God knows what kind of weather to get there. Yeah. Acknowledge it.
Beth, you work with people over Skype. It sounds like over text. Is it expensive to get your help? I mean, do you do it hourly? Do you charge by the speech, by the word? Like, how do you charge?
I kind of like brevity. So by the word wouldn't work out on my end. I can do either. We can go by the hour. If you have something written already and you'd like to just sort of have someone punch it up, we can go by the hour. And that makes it a lot more affordable for people. If we go by the project, then I tend to just, it's based on an estimate of how many hours it will take me.
So how long does it usually take you? If they don't have something written up, how many hours approximately?
Usually in the ballpark of, I would say, 4 to 6 hours all told. Now that includes, you know, maybe an hour total of communication. Because I'm going to talk to you I'm going to sit down and I'm going to put a bunch of questions together. I'm going to get a little information first. Then based on that little bit of information, I'll customize the questions that I have to ask. I'll send you the questions. You can either just send me the answers. You can email me the answers, or we can get on a call and talk through them. Sometimes that's better because it saves a little bit back and forth. And then I'll put something together, then I'll send it to you. And it's not like I'll never just send clients something and go, later, kill it, you know, good luck.
You can make revisions.
Absolutely.
You're sending drafts.
Absolutely.
Do you want to share a range of pricing? I'm sure people are curious to know if this is like doable for them.
Well, so for a full speech, it's usually in the neighborhood of about $500.
Okay.
Probably between, I would say, $350 and $750, depending on if you need a little bit of help or a lot of help. And that includes kind of as many times as we need to go back and forth, because things have to get, it's literally tailoring something to someone. So
yeah.
It's sort of that extra bit of measuring and all that kind of stuff to make sure that it fits just perfectly. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense to just send someone something and say, there it is. Beautiful. Knock yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back and forth. I like this setup, but I don't know about this joke. Ooh, my fiance just reminded me I have to thank that person. I thank that side of the family, so now I have to thank that side of the family. I just remembered this story. It's sort of having the building in all the time to do all that. To me, charging for revisions feels like offering someone a ride to the airport and then leaving them in long-term parking.
Right.
Just do it or don't do it.
Plus, yeah. When you write, well, you're writing, but they're helping, and it might unlock, like you said, one story might lead to three other stories that they had forgotten about but now are must includes because they speak to the theme or something just happened and this would be perfect to mention. It's almost like once you open the book, like the pages keep turning of our memories, and that's with just even just talking to people.
Exactly. There's always, and after the first draft, I mean, usually changes are not substantial. I mean, they're little bits at a time. So it's not like if I need to do a 4-hour revision all at once, if I spend a bunch of time on something and then need to do a 4-hour revision, then we have not clicked or something hasn't gone right. And I've not had that happen. And I find that because it's kind of a self-selecting group, but also because of the nature of what I'm doing, I'm helping someone express themselves in a funny and emotional way. The people don't tend to take advantage of it. I've been very lucky, but it's a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the clients that I work with. It's maybe I've just been fortunate, but I think the nature of the work is nice.
Yeah.
And I would bet you guys as planners, I mean, I would bet you've got people that you liked working with more than others, but for the most part, it's kind of a self-selecting group. You wouldn't want to put that much of yourself into something for someone that you just
really didn't like.
Really didn't like.
Yeah.
And it's hard to really not like someone when they're having a happy occasion either.
Yeah.
So
it usually brings out the best in people.
It does. That's what we love about it. Lastly, because this is also at the end of a toast, I have experienced that a lot of times when someone is giving a toast at a wedding, the nerves or just what they have written down doesn't actually include what I consider the final part, the final part of the toast, which is the actual, now if everyone can raise a glass, blah, blah, blah.
People forget that.
Yeah, people forget that. So I hand them something that has...
Often.
Yeah. So the cheers part, the actual like final wrap it up. How do you, what do you like for that?
The dismount.
The dismount. There you go.
I call it the dismount. So you sort of start with a little bit of humor. Just, you know, talk about the couple with a little bit of humor. And then there's, and when I say a little bit of humor, it's not to say humor and not emotion, but sort of a nice blend of stuff. Usually as you get towards the end, you're getting more and more sincere. It's getting a little bit heavier. So I like to have a callback to a joke or something that's happened. You know, I know they're going to have a beautiful future together. Well, as long as he doesn't get attacked by a stray cat or whatever story that you've mentioned, but just a tiny little callback to something. And then please, I know everyone here joins me in wishing them a lifetime of happiness. So please, everybody, raise a glass to the bride and groom, you know, to Oprah and Stedman. And really just make it clear that your speech, that you've given a toast.
And you look them in the eye.
And that it's ended.
To Ellen and Portia.
You raise your own glass and smile at the couple that you just showered with love and brilliance and humor and warmth. And...
Absolutely. Visual cues are good. Visual cues are good.
So don't forget that part, y'all, when you're writing a toast and when you're asking friends to give toasts or sort of delegating who's going to give a toast. Make sure that you want the actual raising of the glass and the clink, because who doesn't fucking love that? Everyone loves that. It doesn't happen very often. Raise your glass.
It's the moment. It's also, it's the photo. It's everything. You know, have, come on. It's, I mean, not just for your wedding photographer. It's that world that we live in, that everyone wants that great photo, but you know, give everyone a good photo op. And I've said this before, but I always say this, I can't say it enough. When you go up to give your toast, to give your speech, anything, make sure everybody in the room can hear you. It sounds so basic.
Yes.
Make sure they can hear you.
Can you hear me back there?
Exactly.
Aunt Millie, do you hear me?
Exactly. Like that's the easy, it's not even hard. Just make sure, can everyone hear me? And if they can't, they'll go, no. If you have to shout, shout.
That's a great
tip. If someone has to go up and move a dial or something, do that. But make sure they can hear you, because if they can't hear you, they can't react. So they can't, especially if you're a nervous speaker, if they can't hear you, they can't hear the joke. So they're not going to laugh. They're just going to look at you. And you're going to stand up there nervous to begin with and then think you're dying. But you're not. What you're saying may be perfectly fine, maybe great. You're speaking from the heart. You've spent all this time. And if I've helped you some money on it, that, and now no one can hear you. It's like going up and it's rehearsing your dance piece for years and then turning off the lights and doing it. It's, what's the point? So make sure people can hear you.
Very good. Okay, tell everyone where they can find you and contact you.
You can contact me directly through my website. It's just my name, Beth, B-E-T-H, Sherman.com.
Very good. And you guys, if you do, well, you too, Beth, let us know for real. Be like, I'm working with a podcast, you know, listener.
Oh, that absolutely. I would love to hear
That'd
from
be such
people.
A thrill for us.
I would absolutely love to hear from your listeners, because I know I'm not in everybody's price range, but we can usually work something out. Sometimes that means you doing the rough draft and I do a polish, but don't rule it out. If you're curious and you'd like to talk, I'm very, very happy to talk to you.
Especially to our listeners.
Especially to
your listeners.
They're such a good
group, Beth. There's literally millions of them. but gazillions, we said last time. Yeah.
Gazillions. I made that up. Yeah. Thank you so much, Beth, for reaching out, for coming on the show, for educating people. We really, really appreciate it. I learned too.
And it's a good pep talk for toast, y'all.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, you guys, as always, let us know if you have more questions, if you want things answered on a You Ask, We Answer. You can email us thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. You can listen to our show on our website, You can download it there. There's show notes. You can search for your topic if you want to float through the episodes. You can leave us an iTunes review. Find us anywhere you find your podcast. You can ask Alexa about us. Just say, Alexa, play the Big Wedding Planning Podcast podcast. You have to say it twice, remember. We're available for consulting. We would love you to become a patron on patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. Anything else, Michelle? Phone number?
415-723-1625. Call us. Leave a message. I want to hear your voice and we'll put it on Yawa. Love you, show.
Love you.
Happy planning.
Bye.
Bye.